tonight. No kidding. Don't blame you, man. There are some wackos out there. I give him a look. What? I'm just stating the obvious. I'm glad they'll be safe, he says, and I'm beginning to think he might really care for Kavanaugh. What do you want to do for your bachelor party? He asks as we come off I-5. Elliot, I don't want or need a bachelor party. Man, you up and marry the first girl who's given you any serious attention. Of course you need a bachelor party. I laugh. Dude, you have no idea. I thought you'd knocked her up. I go cold. Fuck off, bro. I'm not that careless. Anna's far too young for kids. We have a life to live before we get into all that shit. Elliot laughs. You with kids. That'll loosen you up. I ignore him. Have you heard from Mia? She's chasing Cock. What? Kate's brother. I don't think he's interested. I dislike the words Cock and Mia in the same sentence. She's not a kid anymore, hotshot. You know, she's only slightly younger than Anna and Kate. I'd rather not think about that. Are we playing pool or watching the game? He wisely changes the subject. Whatever you want, bro. Whatever you want. We pull into the underground garage at Escala while I'm still trying not to think about Mia and Ethan Kavanaugh. Elliot is snoring in front of the TV. He works too damned hard. He plays too damned hard. But he'll sleep off his overconsumption of beer in the spare bedroom. We've had a chill evening. We watched highlights of the Mariners-Angels game. Mariners lost. He thrashed me at Call of Duty, but I won at pool for a change. Tomorrow morning I'll be at Anna's apartment to help move the rest of her belongings here. It's taken enough time. I glance at my watch, wondering what she might be doing. My phone buzzes, and it's as if she's heard my thoughts.
I'm packed, missing you. Sleep well, no nightmares. This is not a request. I'm not there to hold you. Love you. Heart.
Her words warm my heart. Flynn said our recent fight was just a small setback. I hope he's right. I text back. Dream of me. I hope to dream of you. No nightmares.
Promise?
No promises. Just hope and dreams and love for you.
You once said you don't do romance. I'm so glad that you're wrong. I'm swooning here. I love you, Christian. Good night. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Good night, Anna. I like to make you swoon. I love you. Always. Kiss. Monday, July 11th, 2011. I read through the press release that I've rewritten for Sam. For immediate release, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. acquires Seattle Independent Publishing. Seattle, Washington, July 11th, 2011. Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc., GEH, announces the acquisition of Seattle Independent Publishing, SIP, of Seattle, Washington, for $15 million. A spokesperson for GEH stated, GEH is thrilled to add SIP to its portfolio of local companies. CEO Christian Gray said, I'm eager to branch into publishing and to use GEH's technological expertise to grow SIP and further develop a solid publishing platform that offers a voice to authors based in the Pacific Northwest. Seattle Independent Publishing was founded 32 years ago by Jeremy Roach, who will continue as CEO. SIP has had considerable success championing local authors, including three-time USA Today bestseller B. Edmonston and poet and performance artist Keon Kinger, whose latest collection, By the Sound, was shortlisted for the prestigious Arthur Rents Prize in 2010. SIP will continue to function independently and will retain all 32 of its employees. Roach said, This is a tremendous opportunity for all the staff and the authors at SIP, and we're very excited to see where our partnership with GEH will take us over the next decade and beyond. All inquiries to Sam Saster, VP, Director of Publicity, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Anna's words come back to me.
Of course I'm mad at you. I mean, what kind of responsible business executive makes decisions based on who he is currently fucking?
I do, Anna. But only because I'm fucking you. Memories of her tied to her little white bed, slick and sticky with ice cream, me attempting to chop peppers, her calling me an ass, float into my head. I glance at my glider. Maybe that's why she doesn't want to obey, because she thinks I'm an ass. Gray enough. Doubt is an ugly, futile feeling. This is my new mantra. Flynn said our dispute was a small setback. All relationships have them. She's moved in with me, and we're getting married in less than 3 weeks. What more do I want? Damn. I wish we were married already. The weight is shredding my nerves. I don't want her to change her mind. She's been quiet this weekend. We were busy moving her stuff into the apartment, and she's been knee-deep in wedding preparations. She's just tired. Stop with the negative, Gray. Focus on the matter in hand. I pick up the phone and call Sam. Christian? Sometimes it really grates on my nerves when he uses my first name. In an arctic tone, I inform him. I've sent you a revised, less wordy press release. Brevity is everything. Try and remember that. As you wish, Mr. Gray. Good. Point made. And Sam, delete the price and put undisclosed sum. Will do. I hang up and turn to my computer. I'm hoping some email banter with my fiancé will improve my disposition and hers. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, July 11th, 2011, 8:43. The ultimate consumer. Consuming. My darling Anastasia, I was reminiscing about the day you found out I had purchased SIP. I believe you called me an ass when I was merely exercising my rights as a citizen of our fine country to purchase whatever I please. As the ultimate consumer, again, your epithet. I am informing you that the news of my most recent acquisition is no longer embargoed, and a press release will be issued today. I'm so glad you've moved in. I slept well last night knowing you were there. I love you. Christian Gray, CEO, entrepreneur, not an ass.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray, July 11th, 2011, 8:56. Boss or bossy? My dearest husband-to-be, you were an ass, I stand by that appellation, and my boss's boss's boss. I remember that we enjoyed a thoroughly entertaining and sticky evening. Perhaps a helping of ice cream this evening? It is so warm out. I love you back, very much. I'm preparing an agenda for our meeting this evening with Alondra about final preparations. Any last-minute requests? Are you still happy for the rehearsal dinner to take place at Escala? Anastasia Steele, Acting Editor.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, July 11th, 2011, 8:59. How many times? My darling Anastasia, let's make it a short service. I'm impatient for you to be mine. Yes, to Escala. Fewer prying eyes there. Oh, and Blackberry, and Ben and Jerry's, and Anna. My favorite dessert. Christian Gray, bossy CEO.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray, July 11th, 2011, 9:02. Uber bossy. Oh, fiddle-dee-dee, Mr. Gray. It's my favorite dessert, too. Anna, kiss.
I smile. Now she's quoting Gone with the Wind at me. She seems happy enough. I shake my head and summon Andrea, my disposition much improved.
Thank you, Miss Steele.
Mid-morning, Andrea puts Darius Jackson from the Port of Ephrata through. Good morning, Christian. Darius, it's good to hear your voice. Has she arrived? Suddenly, I'm 10 years old again, and it's Christmas. I can barely contain my excitement.
She has, Mr. Gray, and she's a beauty.
Have you put her together? Working on it now. I'll send you some photographs when she's complete. I can't wait to see her. I have the registration ready, and I'm wondering if you want me to take her up for a test flight, or if you'd like to do that. No, take her up. Let me know how she handles. I'd be delighted to. When can we expect you? I'll try and get up there this weekend. I'll let you know. Okay, I'll get back to her. I don't like to leave a lady waiting. He chuckles, hangs up, and I laugh. Me neither, Darius, unless she's misbehaved. I sigh. Perhaps Anna and I can go soaring this weekend. Anna is subdued during dinner, picking at her risotto. Maybe she's having second thoughts. What's wrong? I ask.
Nothing. It was just a long day.
My anxiety simmers. There's something she's not telling me. Sawyer told me there were paparazzi outside your building, I prompt.
We left via the loading bay. We managed to avoid them.
So it's not the continual harassment from the Fourth Estate that's bugging her. What is it? I try a different tack. What did you do today? She snorts. I spent most of the day on the phone with authors, trying to soften the blow of the news. I almost spit out my food. What the hell? She laughs at my expression, her reaction immediately lifting my spirits.
Yes, big business exploiting artistic endeavor, she clarifies. Roach called the senior editorial team together this morning to give us all the news of your takeover. Of course, I knew already, when everyone else was in the dark. It was strange. It set me apart, you know.
I see. Surely that's a good thing. Knowledge is power.
Christian.
Her eyes are full of misgiving, and her words pour out in a steady torrent.
My fiancé owns the company I work for. Roach stared at me a few times during the meeting, and I didn't know what he was thinking. I remember he went a little crazy when he found out we were getting married. The whole meeting was odd. I felt uncomfortable and self-conscious.
Shit. You didn't tell me he went a little crazy, asshole.
That was a while ago, when he found out we were engaged.
Did he make you feel uncomfortable? I'll fire him if he did. She studies me, her face serious, as if considering my question.
A little, maybe, maybe not. Or maybe I'm projecting, I don't know. Anyway, he confirmed my position as editor.
Today?
This afternoon.
I've not yet removed the moratorium on hiring new staff, wily old bastard. Reaching over, I grasp her hand. Congratulations. We should celebrate. Were you worried about telling me?
I thought you knew and you hadn't said anything.
Her voice trails off. I laugh. No, I didn't. But it's great news. She looks relieved. Is this why she's been so quiet? Don't sweat it, Anna. To hell with what your colleagues think and what Roach thinks. I hope everyone at the company was reassured by the press release. I'm not planning any changes in the immediate future, and I'm sure your authors were delighted to hear from you.
Some yes, some no. There are a few who still miss Jack.
Really? That amazes me.
He took a gamble on a couple. They're loyal. I suspect they'll move with him when he finds another job.
He's never going to find another job if I have my way. She tightens her fingers around mine.
Anyway, thank you, she says.
What for?
Listening.
Her brow furrows once again, and I wonder if she wants to say more. What, Anna, tell me.
Are you ready for the wedding planner?
She asks. Of course. Better finish up. I look pointedly at her food, and to my relief, she scoops up a large bite of risotto and pops it into her mouth. I slowly unwind. She just wanted to tell me about her promotion and expected me to know about it. For fuck's sake, Gray, relax.
All that remains is to decide what you'll do after the wedding reception.
Alondra Gutierrez has an easy smile.
We haven't discussed that yet.
Anna turns to me. It's in hand, I tell Ms. Gutierrez, and Anna looks surprised. Oh, baby, I've got this. I'll take this up with you separately, Alondra.
Very good, Mr. Gray. I can't wait to hear.
Neither can I,
Anna says. You'll have to wait until the big day. I smile. I hope you enjoy what I have planned. Anna pushes out her bottom lip in the semblance of a pout, but there's humor in her expression and something else, something darker, more sensual, that speaks to my dick. Fuck. Alondra gathers her things, letting us know that we can still make last-minute changes as we thank her for all that she's done. We all rise as Taylor appears at the entrance to the living room, and Alondra takes her leave. We both watch her depart, and once she's out of earshot, I turn to Anna. She's got it all in hand.
Alondra's good at her job,
she says. She is. I agree.
Now what do you want to do?
I add in a whisper. Anna whips her eyes to mine, and her lips part as she gazes at me. We are inches from each other, not touching, but I feel her, all of her. The silence between us gets louder, expanding to fill the space surrounding us as we each drink the other in. Suddenly there's no oxygen in the vast room. There's only us, only our desire, crackling invisibly between us. I see it in the summer of her eyes, her pupils growing wider, darker, reflecting my thirst, my love. Our love.
You've been so distant.
Her voice is barely audible.
All weekend.
No, not distant. Afraid.
No,
she says in a quiet rush of tenderness. She closes the gap between us without moving. Reaching up, her fingertips skim over my stubble, her touch echoing through my every bone and sinew. I close my eyes as my body responds.
Anna.
Her fingers are at my shirt, undoing the buttons.
Don't be afraid.
She breathes and places a kiss on one of my scars above my pulsing heart. I can bear no more. I cup her face and bring her lips to mine, kissing her ferociously. She's a banquet for a starving man. She tastes of love and lust and Anna.
Let's go, now, Vegas. Get married,
I implore against her fevered lips.
We can tell everyone we couldn't wait.
She moans and I kiss her again, taking all she's got to give, drowning in her desire, drowning in her love, aching for her, desperate for her. When she pulls back, we're both dragging air into our lungs, her dazed eyes on me.
If that's what you want,
she says. Breathless and brimming with compassion. I crush her to me. She'd do this for me. She won't obey, but she'll do this.
Damn.
And I know I have to give her a wedding she deserves, not some rushed affair in a chapel of love in Vegas. My girl deserves the best.
Come to bed,
I whisper in her ear. And she laces her fingers into my hair as I lift her into my arms.
I thought you'd never ask,
she says, and I carry her into the bedroom. Saturday, July 16th, 2011.
Wake up, sleepyhead.
Gently, I tug Anna's earlobe with my teeth. She groans and refuses to open her eyes. I tug again.
Ah!
She gripes and her eyes flutter open. Good morning, Miss Steele.
Good morning.
She reaches up to stroke my face. I'm fully dressed and lying stretched out beside her.
Sleep well?
I kiss her palm. She gives me a sleepy nod.
I have a surprise.
Oh?
Up. I slide off the bed.
What surprise?
If I told you... She slides her head to one side, unimpressed. She needs an answer. Floating above the Pacific Northwest. She gasps and sits up immediately.
Soaring?
She asks. The very same.
We can chase the...
She glances out of the window.
Rain?
She looks crestfallen. It's sunnier where we're going.
Then we can chase the midday sun.
We can, if you get up. She squeals with delight and scrambles out of bed, all haste and long limbs. She stops to give me a swift, chaste kiss before dashing into the bathroom. It should be warm. I call after her with a huge grin. I think she's pleased. As we speed down I-90 in the R-8, fleeing the dreary weather, I allow myself the luxury of being in the moment. My girl is beside me, the killers are on the sound system, and we're going soaring in my new sailplane. All is right in the world. Flynn would be proud. Of course, we're being followed by Sawyer and Reynolds, but a guy can't have everything.
Where are we going?
Anna asks, peering through the drizzle. Ephrata. From the corner of my eye, I see she's perplexed. It's about 2.5 hours away. It's where I keep my sailplanes.
You have more than one?
Two, now.
The Blanik?
She asks, and when I frown, she continues, sounding a little less certain.
You mentioned it to the pilot when we went soaring in Georgia.
She looks down at her fingers and starts twisting her engagement ring.
It's why I bought you the model one.
Her voice drops, so I have to strain to hear her. The only Blanik I have is that little glider. It has pride of place on my desk at work. Reaching over, I grasp her knee, briefly recalling the circumstances when she gifted the little model to me. Don't go there, Gray. I trained to fly in a Blanik. Right now, I have a brand new state-of-the-art Ash 30, one of the first in the world. It will be my hour maiden flight in her. I flash her a quick grin. Anna's face erupts into a smile, and she shakes her head fondly. What? I ask.
You.
Me.
Yes, you and your toys.
A man has to chill, Anna. I wink at her and she blushes.
You're never going to let me live that down, are you?
That and the are you gay question. Anna laughs.
You enjoy expensive pursuits.
This is not news. She stifles her smile and shakes her head again, and I don't know if she's laughing at me or with me. Plus ça change, Anastasia. We turn into the parking lot at Ephrata Municipal Airport just before 11. The promised sun has materialized, dispersing the rain clouds and ushering in pretty white cumulus, perfect for soaring. I'm itching to see my new plane and get her airborne. Ready? I ask.
Yes.
Anna's eyes shine, her excitement palpable, like mine. It's so bright we're going to need shades. From the glove box, I take my aviators and hand a pair of Wayfarers to Anna, then retrieve the two mariner's caps.
Thank you. I forgot my sunglasses.
As I climb out of the car, Sawyer arrives in the Q7 and parks beside the R8. I give him a wave and he rolls down the window. There's a pilot's lounge if you guys want to wait in there, I say. Follow us in. Mr. Gray, please. Sawyer's tone stops me, and I know he wants to check out the offices before Anna and I go inside. I step out of the way to let Reynolds and Sawyer through. This is getting old. I take a deep breath. I won't let his vigilance dampen my spirits. After all, it's what I pay him to do. Taking Anna's hand, I follow our security into the office, where Darius Jackson is waiting. Christian Gray, he calls out and pumps my hand with a hearty shake. It's great to see him. He's a big guy, tall, but rounder than when I last saw him. You're keeping well, he observes. As are you, Darius. This is my fiance, Anastasia Steele. Miss Steele. Darius gives her a broad, brilliant smile. Anna. She corrects us both, but smiles and takes his hand. Darius was my flight instructor, I explain to Anna. You were my star pupil, Christian, he says. He's a natural. Anna eyes me, and I think it's pride I see etched on her beautiful face. Congratulations on your engagement, Darius says. Thanks. Is she ready? I ask, because I find Anna's pride in me difficult to swallow, and of course I can't wait to see my new sailplane. Sure is. She's all lined up for you. My son Marlin is going to spot. Whoa, Marlin! I exclaim. Marlin, in his mid-teens now, has close-cropped hair and a smile and handshake that matches his father's. You've gotten so tall. Kids, they grow. Darius's dark eyes are brimming with paternal love. Thanks for helping out, Marlin. No worries, Mr. Gray. Out on the tarmac, N88765CG is waiting. She is, without doubt, the most graceful sailplane on the planet. A Schleicher Ash 30, she's a gleaming white with an impressive 87-foot wingspan and a large canopy. Even from this distance, it's obvious she's a marvel of modern engineering. She's Yar. Darius gives me a play-by-play account of her maiden flight, his face animated by the memory, as the three of us stroll around the glider, taking in her beauty and elegance. She's got it all, Christian. It's like walking on air, he says, and the awe in his voice is worthy of such a sleek and cutting-edge aircraft. She looks mighty fine. I agree. I open the canopy and Darius talks me through each of the controls. And I've put more ballast in, he glances at Anna. As you'll need it. I understand. I'll fetch your chutes.
Wow,
Anna exclaims as she gazes into the cockpit.
It has more dials and technical doohickeys than the other glider.
I laugh. She sure does.
She?
She, but more biddable, I add with a smirk. Anna cocks her head to one side and squints at me while trying unsuccessfully to hide her amusement.
Biddable, eh?
I peer down my nose at her. Easy to handle, does as she's told. Darius returns and hands me the chutes before heading back into the office. I squat down on the ground with Anna's and help her into it, tightening the straps around her thighs. As you know, Miss Steele, I like my women biddable.
To a point, Mr. Gray,
she says as I stand.
Sometimes you like to be defied.
I grin. Only by you. I cinch the shoulder buckles up tight.
You love doing that, don't you?
She whispers. More than you could ever know.
I think I have a clue. Maybe we should do it later.
I stop and tug her closer so that I can breathe in her scent.
Maybe we should,
I murmur. I'd like that very much. Anna peeks up at me through her lashes.
So would I.
Her words are as soft as the summer breeze, and she leans up to kiss me. My breath catches in my throat as her lips touch mine, and desire flashes through my body like wildfire. But before I can react, she steps back to give me some room to don my own chute. Tease. Eyes blazing, she watches me as I strap on my parachute. I take extra care to tighten my own straps.
That was hot,
she whispers. Chuckling, and before I make a complete fool of myself and her, I do another circuit of my new plane. This time I'm examining her for anything that looks loose or out of place, all part of my pre-flight checks. Darius, who taught me to glide, would expect no less. She's in fine, fine shape, like my fiancé. Anna is still watching me as I run a hand over the tip of her wing. She's good, I say, when I return to Anna's side. She slides on her cap and threads her ponytail through the gap at the back. You look mighty fine too, Miss Steele, I whisper as I slip on my aviators. Darius and Marlin join us, and together we push the Ash 30 onto the runway. Once in position, I help Anna into the front seat of the cockpit and have the pleasure of strapping her in once more. "These should keep you in your place," I whisper with a wicked grin, then jump in behind her and close the canopy. Darius attaches the tow cable and, with a thumbs-up sign, heads to the waiting single-engine Cessna Skyhawk. "Ready?" I ask Anna.
"You bet.
Don't touch anything."
"Wait."
"What?"
"You've not flown this before."
I laugh. "Nope. I hadn't flown the Blahnik L-23 before, but we survived that." She remains silent. "Anna, they're all the same, really. And you have your chute. Don't sweat it."
"Okay."
She sounds a little uncertain. "Honestly, it's going to be fine, trust me." I do a thorough check of the controls to orient myself. Elevator, ailerons, the stick are all full and free. Straps good, brakes good, and now locked, canopy locked, flight instruments good, no cracked glass. Shouldn't be, she's new. Darius's voice crackles over the radio, and I let him know that we're ready. A quick glance to the starboard side reveals Marlin standing by, holding the wingtip as Darius fires up the Skyhawk. "Here we go! Let's chase those thermals and the midday sun!" I shout above the shrill whine of the Cessna's engine. Darius eases forward, and suddenly we're racing across the tarmac. Using the pedals at my feet and the stick in front of me, we sail into the air before the Cessna has left the runway. She's so quick off the ground. We climb higher and higher. The Ifreda office building is a child's toy as it disappears into the distance. Darius banks his aircraft, and we sail toward the Beasley Hills, where we are sure to find some lift.
"That was so smooth,"
Anna says, an edge of quiet awe in her voice. "Much smoother than the Blahnik." I agree. Ash is awesome. She's so light and responsive. We reach 3,000 feet, and I radio Darius to let him know I'm releasing the cable. He's flown us into a thermal, and as he pulls away, I hold us in a wide circle, keeping the attitude constant as we rise and rise and rise. Washington falls away beneath us in all her checkered glory.
"Wow,"
Anna breathes. On the port side, you can see the Cascades.
"Port?"
"Left."
"Oh, yes."
There is still a sprinkling of snow kissing the top of the mountains, even in July.
"What's the water down there?"
"Banks Lake."
"Christian, this is beautiful."
We're at 7,000 feet, and I know we could go higher. We could go for miles and miles and land in some field leagues and leagues away. The thought is appealing, Anna and I alone in some wilderness. But I don't think Sawyer or Reynolds or maybe even Anna would appreciate it.
"Look,"
Anna calls. Below us, a substantial dust devil swirls into the air. The lift. I make a beeline for it, and we travel higher, fast.
"Wow,"
Anna cries with exhilaration.
"No acrobatics today?"
she asks. "I'm just getting the feel of her first." Fuck it. I love making Anna scream. I wing over, and she squeals with delight as we hang above the earth, her hands stretched out, her ponytail tumbling down, the Washington plains beneath us.
"Holy shit!"
she exclaims, and I pitch us upright again, and Anna laughs and laughs. The sound fills my soul and makes me feel 1,000 feet tall. Ash is a dream to fly. She has carried us to the top of the world, where the sun reigns above the clouds. It's tranquil, and we're surrounded by a breathtaking view. The love of my life sits before me, happy and free above the earth, and for the first time in a while, a sense of peace unfurls within me. We're together, cradled in the sky, and my heart is full to overflowing. I don't want this feeling to end. This high is intoxicating.
"Focus on where you want to be, how you want to be. I think you have for the last few weeks. You've seemed happier."
Flynn's words come back to me. Anna is my happiness. She holds the key. The thought is too big, too all-encompassing. I know it could swallow me whole if I let it. To distract myself, I ask Anna if she wants a try.
No, this is your maiden voyage. You enjoy it, Christian. I'm thrilled to come along for the ride.
I smile. I bought her for you.
Really?
Yes. I have a single-seater glider made by the same German company, but it's for solo flights. This sailplane is a dream. She's fantastic.
She is.
Anna looks ahead at the horizon.
We are floating on air,
she says, her voice soft and dreamy.
That we are, baby. That we are.
We touch down an hour later, a landing that's as smooth as the takeoff. I'm thrilled with the new plane. She's everything I knew she would be and more. I'd really like to take her up one day to see how far she'll take us, perhaps later this summer. Darius rushes toward us as I unlock the canopy.
How was it?
He gushes when he reaches us.
Amazing. She's one hell of a plane.
Adrenaline is still coursing through my body.
Anna?
Darius turns his attention to her.
I agree with Christian. She's amazing.
I undo my straps, clamber out, and stretch, then lean in to unbuckle Anna's straps. This has been inspiring, I whisper, and give her a swift kiss as I make short work of the seatbelt. Her lips part in surprise, but I turn to Darius, who is still with us. Let's put her in the hangar. I'm behind Anna as we walk back to the cars with Sawyer and Reynolds. Her ponytail swings jauntily behind her. She's still wearing the cap, and beneath the short navy baseball jacket, her ass is shielded in tight blue jeans. Her hips sway back and forth, a metronome as she walks, and the rhythm is hypnotizing. She looks so damned hot. I stride around to her side of the car and open the door.
You look great. I don't think I told you that this morning.
I think you did,
she answers with a sweet smile.
Well, I'd like to tell you again.
Back at you, Christian Gray.
She runs her fingers over my white t-shirt, and the feeling echoes through my chest and the rest of my body. I need to get her home. But first, lunch. A late lunch. I close her door and head to the driver's side. We stop in Ephrata for pizza. Do you mind if we get takeout? I ask as we enter the small restaurant.
Eat in your car?
Yes.
Your immaculate R8?
The very same.
Sure.
Anna looks puzzled. I'm anxious to get home.
Why?
I stare at her, quirking an eyebrow with only one thought in my mind. Why do you think, Anna?
Oh,
she says, and her teeth drill into her lower lip to suppress her smile, her cheeks flushing that shade of pink I love so much.
Okay, yes, takeout,
she blurts, and I have to laugh.
This is the best damn pizza,
Anna says with her mouth full. I'm glad I doubled down on paper napkins. More? I ask, and she holds the slice up for me to bite. As I open my mouth, she moves it away and takes another bite.
Hey!
She giggles.
My pizza.
I pout, because I'm driving and there's nothing else I can do.
Here,
she says, and this time lets me take a bite. You know I'll get you back.
Uh-huh.
She taunts.
Bring it, Gray.
Oh, I will. I will. And I start to contemplate various scenarios which have an immediate impact on my body. I shift in my seat. More pizza, please. Anna continues to feed me and tease me, much to her and my delight. We should do this more often.
All done,
Anna says, and pops the pizza box in her footwell. I feel sated. I'm with my girl in my favorite car, Radiohead on play, and we're speeding through the majestic landscape beside the Columbia River toward the Vantage Bridge. I'm overwhelmed by a sense of belonging. Before Anna, how did I spend my weekends? Soaring, sailing, fucking. I laugh. It doesn't sound like much has changed, but that's simply not true. Everything has changed, and all because of the young woman sitting next to me. I didn't know I was lonely until I met her. I didn't know I needed her, and here she is beside me. I glance at Anna, who's sucking the tip of her index finger. The sight is stirring, and I recall her earlier remark about harnesses.
You love doing that, don't you?
More than you could ever know.
I think I have a clue. Maybe we should do it later.
Maybe we should. The thought drives me wild. Putting my foot down, I push the R8 to 90. I want to get us home. My anticipation is at DEFCON 1 when we finally arrive at the garage at Escala.
Home again.
Anna breathes when I switch off the ignition. Her voice is husky and quiet, drawing my attention. Her eyes meet mine and we stare at each other as the atmosphere within the R8 slowly simmers. It's here, between us, our desire. It's almost a separate entity. It's so powerful, drawing us together. Consuming me. Us.
Thank you,
she says. You're most welcome. She's looking at me through her lashes, her eyes smoky and full of sensual promise. Compelled, I can't look away. I'm under her powerful spell. Beside us, Sawyer and Reynolds pull up, park, and disembark the Q7, locking it up behind them. They head to the service elevator, and I can't tell if they're waiting for us or not. I don't know. I don't care. Anna and I ignore them, our focus only on each other. The silence in the car is heady, ringing with unspoken thoughts.
The new glider. That was mind-blowing.
I like blowing your mind. A slow, seductive smile tugs at her lips.
I like that, too. I have a plan. You do?
I nod, holding my breath as myriad images of Anna harnessed in the playroom run through my head.
Red room?
She asks tentatively. I nod. Her pupils grow wide and dark, and her breasts rise as she inhales.
Bring it.
And I am out of the car. She's out when I reach the passenger side. Come. I take her hand and trek briskly to the elevator. Fortunately, it's waiting for us, and we dart in. I squeeze her hand as we both stand against the back wall. She sidles closer to me, and her intention is clear as she raises her face to mine. No, wait. I release her hand and step to the side as the elevator climbs.
Christian,
she whispers, her look scorching. I shake my head. I'm gonna make you wait, baby. She presses her lips together, her displeasure obvious, but there's a flash of steel in her eyes. My girl does not back down from a challenge. The game is on. The doors of the elevator open, and I step back, giving Anna a courtly wave. Ladies first. She smirks, and with head held high, sashays out of the elevator into the foyer, where she stops. Sawyer is waiting for us. Well, this is inconvenient.
Mr. Gray, is there anything else you require?
He's aware that Taylor has gone to visit his daughter, and I think he's trying to fill Taylor's shoes. He looks expectantly from me to Anna, whose attention is suddenly concentrated on the floor as she tries not to laugh. Hiding my amusement, I respond, I'm good, thank you. Then, out of devilment, add, Anna?
All good.
She shoots me a what-the-fuck look, and it takes all my self-control not to burst out laughing in front of Sawyer. She scuttles out of the foyer. You and Reynolds can stand down. We're not going out this evening. Anastasia is going out tomorrow. I'll text you in the morning to let you know when. Anna has a fitting for her wedding dress in the morning.
Very good, sir.
He turns and I follow him out into the corridor. A quick glance in the living room reveals Anna is not there. Sawyer heads into Taylor's office while I go in search of Miss Steele. I find her in the bedroom, where she's unlacing her boots. She looks up.
Mr. Gray, you are truly evil.
I try my best. Playroom, 10 minutes. I turn on my heel and leave her, mouth open, in my our bedroom. The playroom is softly illuminated, the light glowing off the red walls. It feels once more like my haven. It's been a few weeks since we've been in here. Why is that? Where does the time go? I chuckle. I sound like my dad. I strip off my jacket and remove my shoes and socks, enjoying the warmth of the wooden floor on the soles of my feet. From the bottom of the toy chest, I remove a leather suspension harness. It's going to be fun strapping Anna into this. I can barely contain myself. She won't be fully suspended, so I think she'll be within her limits. I lay it out on the bed, then retrieve a few other items. Putting a couple of them in the back pocket of my jeans, I leave the rest on the chest, then head next door to the ensuite in the submissive's room. I pause when I come out of the bathroom. The room is unchanged since Susanna left. Anna never really occupied this space. It has an empty, abandoned feel. The decor is still neutral, white, cold. Susanna never wanted to decorate. Gray, stop. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now. Not when my girl should be waiting for me. When I enter the room, Anna is barefoot by the bed, examining the harness. The sight of her halts me in my tracks. She's changed into some lacy lingerie. She's all long legs, arms, and black lace, and fine see-through panties. Just for me. I can see everything. Everything. Shrouded in lace. My mouth dries as she steps toward me, her hair free, falling and curling under her breasts.
Mr. Gray, you're overdressed.
I could play this one of two ways. We are still finding ourselves in here. Today, the dominant wins.
You want to play? Yes.
Yes, what? Anna's lips part in surprise.
Sir?
In that case, turn around. She blinks, astonished at my tone, I think, and a furrow forms on her brow. Don't frown.
Suspension?
Not fully, no. Your toes will be on the floor. It'll be intense. Come on, Anna, don't lose your nerve. We don't have to do this, I whisper. Her mouth twists into that challenging smirk I know so well, and I think she's considering her options. I cock my head to the side as her eyes stray to the harness on the bed. They linger on it. She's intrigued, I can tell. I tip her chin up and brush my lips against hers. Do you want to wear this harness or not?
What will you do to me?
Her words are breathy and barely audible. She's turned on, just at the sight of it. Whatever I want. She gasps and turns around immediately. Yes. From the top of the chest of drawers, I grab a hair tie and gather her hair in my hands and begin braiding it. It would never do to get her luscious locks caught in any of the straps. I make quick work of her braid, and once it's fastened, give it a tug. She steps back into my arms.
You look mighty fine, Miss Steele. I murmur into her ear. Love the lingerie. Remember, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Just tell me to stop.
Now go and assume the position by the door. She gives me a most unsubmissive look, which in another lifetime would have earned her a good spanking. But she moves to the door and kneels, resting her palms on her thighs and parting her legs. That's my girl. She looks gorgeous. I could come just looking at her. Steady, Gray, get a grip. Ignoring my arousal, I go back to the chest, pull out my iPod, and place it on the dock. I switch on the Bose system, choose a track, and press repeat. Sinnerman. Nina Simone. Perfect. Anna is watching me. Eyes down, I warn, and she dutifully casts them to the floor. I close my eyes. Every time she does as she's told, it's music to my soul. I can't get her to obey outside this room, but I'm going to take full advantage in here. I amble back to her and stand directly in front of her. Legs wider. She shuffles and moves her thighs. I groan in approval, strip off my t-shirt and toss it on the floor. Slowly I unbuckle my belt and pull it through the belt loops. Anna's fingers flex on her thighs. Is she wondering what I'm going to do with the belt? Those days are over, Anna. But, for maximum effect, I drop it and it clatters to the floor. She flinches at the sound. Shit. Reaching down, I caress her hair. Hey, don't sweat it, Anna. She gazes up at me, every bit a Dom's wet dream, and I know my cock is bursting in anticipation. Taking my sweet time, I unbutton my fly and tug down the zipper while I tighten my hold on her hair. My intention is clear, and she regards me with a look that could set me alight from head to foot, and I think that's a good thing, because she opens her mouth, ready for me. No, not yet, I whisper. And, still clutching her hair, I ease my hardened cock from my jeans and run my hand up and down the length. Her eyes do not leave mine. With my thumb, I rub the bead of dew that's emerged into the head and run my hand along its length once again. I want nothing more than to take her mouth, but I want to make this moment last. Kiss me, I murmur. Anna's breasts are rising and falling faster, her nipples pebbling under my gaze. She's excited. She puckers her lips and presses them against my dick. Open up for me. She parts her lips and I ease myself into her warm, wet, willing mouth. Fuck. I ease back, then push my way in once more. This time she sheathed her teeth, so the effect is immediate as she sucks me in. Oh, yes. Groaning my approval, I grip her hair and move back, forth, fucking her mouth, and like the goddess she is, she takes me, all of me, over and over, more and more, deeper and deeper, on and on. I lose myself in her wondrous mouth. Fuck, I'm going to come. But I don't care. I release her head and put my hand on the wall to keep me upright, and I let go. I cry out as my orgasm rolls through me in a rush and consumes me while Anna moves, gripping my thighs, taking all I have to give. I need you, Nina rasps over the sound system as I pull out of Anna's mouth and lean against the wall to recover my equilibrium. Anna peers up at me with a look of triumph. She wipes her mouth with the back of her hand and then licks her lips as I adjust myself and zip up my fly. Hey, I whisper, and she smiles. I give her my hand. Up. I pull her into my arms and kiss her, pushing her against the wall and spilling all my gratitude into our kiss. She tastes of me and sweet Anna. It's a provocative, potent mix. When I pull back, she's winded, and her lips are a little swollen. That's better. She responds, the sound a deep, sexy noise in her throat. I grin. Now we're going to have some real fun. I lead her to the bed where the harness is laid out. Now that I've come, I'm calmer and so ready for part two. I look down at Anna, who is gazing at me expectantly. As much as I love what you're wearing, we need to get you naked. She hooks her fingers into the waistband of my jeans.
And what about you?
All in good time, Miss Steele. She pushes her lower lip out in a moo, and I gently take it between my teeth. No pouting, I whisper, and start unhooking the basque she's wearing, freeing her beautiful breasts. Slowly I peel her out of it. Once it's off, I place it beside the harness. And now these. Kneeling, I slide her panties gently down her legs
ensuring that my fingertips skate across her skin. When I reach her ankles, I stop and give her time to step out of them. I place them on top of her basque. Hello there. I address her vulva and plant a kiss just above her clitoris. She smirks, and I remember a time that a kiss on this part of her anatomy would make her fidget and blush. Oh, Anna, we've come a long way. Standing, I grab the harness. This is like the parachute earlier today.
Where you got the idea?
Yes, well, you gave me the idea. So step in, here. I hold the thigh straps open, and Anna grabs onto my biceps and steps into one side and then the other. Once in, I hook the shoulder bindings over her shoulders and proceed to buckle all the straps. This includes the one across her chest, at her back, at her waist, and each of those around her upper arms. I step back to admire my handiwork and my future wife. Man, she looks hot. Oh, sinner man, Nina sings. Feel okay? I ask. She nods quickly, her eyes dark and full of carnal curiosity. Oh, Anna, it gets better. From the top of the drawers, I grab the leather cuffs. I fasten them to each of her wrists and then hook their carabiners to the brass loops embedded in each of the upper arm cuffs. Anna's hands are now tethered, level with her shoulders, and effectively immobile. Okay? I ask.
Yes,
she breathes. Gently, I tug at one of the hooks embedded in the chest strap and lead Anna to the edge of the restraining system in the ceiling of the playroom. From above, I unhook the trapeze and tug it into position above Anna. From each end of the trapeze, there are two short cords with carabiners at the end. I clip these to the hooks in her shoulder straps. She watches me intently as I complete the task. She's now hooked in place, her feet flat on the floor. For now. So the exciting feature of this device is that I can do this. I step to the side. And from the large brass cleat that's attached to the wall, I unwind the cords that are secured to the trapeze via the restraining system. With both hands, I tug, and Anna's suddenly hoisted onto the balls of her feet. Anna gasps and totters from side to side and front and back, attempting to find her balance. I rewrap the cords around the cleat, leaving Anna dancing on the tips of her toes. She's helpless and completely at my mercy. It's a thrilling thought and sight.
What are you going to do?
She asks. Like I said, exactly what I want. I'm a man of my word.
You won't leave me like this.
She looks panicked. I grasp her chin. No, never. Rule number one, never leave someone who's restrained alone, ever. I kiss her quickly. You okay? She's breathing hard, excited, and I think she's daunted, but she nods. I kiss her again, this time with infinite tenderness, my lips brushing hers. Right, you've seen enough. From my back pocket, I retrieve a blindfold and slip it over her head and cover her eyes. You look so fucking hot, Anna. Taking a few steps back to the drawers, I pull out the item I require and slip it into my back pocket. I circle Anna, admiring my handiwork until I'm facing her once more. I run my thumb over her lips, then down her chin, down her sternum. Power, Nina bellows out through the playroom. Are you going to obey me in here? I whisper.
Do you want me to?
She asks, her voice all breathy and needy. I skim my hands over her breasts, and her nipples lengthen beneath my thumbs. I tug them both, hard.
Ah!
She cries.
Yes, yes,
she says quickly.
Good girl.
I continue kneading her nipples between my thumbs and forefingers. She moans, tossing her head back, and teeters on her toes. Oh, baby, feel it. Do you want to come this way?
Yes. No, I don't know.
I think not. I have another plan for you. Her groan fills the room. I place my hands on her waist and dip my head and suck a nipple into my mouth, taunting it with my tongue and my lips. Anna cries out, and I move to its twin and lavish the same attention on it until Anna is pulling against her restraints. When I don't think she can take much more, I kneel at her feet and trail kisses across her belly, my tongue circling her navel and then continuing a journey south. Grabbing her thighs, I hoist her legs over my shoulders and slide her vulva toward my mouth. She tips back in the harness and lets out a guttural cry as my lips and tongue find her clitoris, swollen and ready for my attention. I go to town, dedicating myself to the small powerhouse at the apex of her thighs, teasing, testing, torturing her with my mouth.
"Christian,"
she gasps, and I know she's close. I stop and set her back on her toes. I want her to come with her toes bouncing on the floor. It'll be intense. Standing, I steady her, and from my back pocket I grab the ridged glass dildo and run it over her belly. "Feel this?"
"Yes, yes, cold."
She breathes. "Cold. Good. I'm going to put it inside you, and after you've come, I'm going to put me inside you." She makes a strangled groan. "Legs apart," I order. Anna ignores me. "Anna!" Tentatively, she moves her feet, and I run the end of the dildo up her thigh and oh so slowly slip it inside her. She groans.
"Cold!"
Gently to begin with, I pump my hand, knowing that the glass wand is shaped to hit that potent, sweet, sweet spot inside her. This is not going to take long. With my other hand, I circle her waist, holding her close and kissing her throat, inhaling her rousing scent. Anna come apart in my arms. She's so close, so close. My hand continues to move harder, faster, taking her higher. Her legs are stiffening, and suddenly she goes rigid and screams as her climax rips through her. She bucks against her bindings as I thrust the dildo inside her, making her ride out her orgasm. When her head tips back, her mouth slack, I ease it out of her and toss it onto the bed. I unclip first one and then the other carabiner from her shoulder straps, then carry her to the bed. I lay her out, still harnessed, her hands still tied. I remove the blindfold. Her eyes are closed. I unzip my jeans and swiftly remove them and my boxer briefs. Standing over her, I grab her thighs, lift them to either side of my hips, and slam into her. Then still. She cries out and opens her eyes. She's wet, really wet, and mine. Our eyes stay on each other, hers dazed and full of passion and want and need.
"Please,"
she whispers, and I flex my ass and start to move, grinding into her. My fingers grip her thighs and she crosses her legs behind me, holding me. I rock into her, back and forth, and as I get closer, I release her legs, which she tightens around me, and I lean over her, my hands on either side of her shoulders, my fingers crushing the red satin sheets. "Come on, baby, again!" I shout, and my voice is almost unrecognizable to me. Anna lets go, taking me with her. I come, long and hard, with a cry, and it's her name, Anna. I collapse beside her, utterly spent. As my reason returns, I lean up over her and unclip the wrist restraints and then pull her into my arms. "How was that?" I murmur. I think she says mind-blowing before she closes her eyes and nestles into my arms. I grin and hold her close. Nina is still singing her heart out. I find the remote on the bed and switch her off, letting silence fall over Anna and me and the playroom. "Well done, Anna Steele. I'm in awe of you," I whisper. But she's fast asleep, in the harness. I smile and kiss the top of her head. "Anna, I love you."
And I love your inner freak. Monday, July 18th, 2011. It's early, and Bastille is his usual tyrannical self as we warm up. Good cross, again! He shouts, his words a staccato. I jab and land a punch on his palm pad. Again, jab, cross. I comply. Change hands, leg back. My right leg is back and I'm in fight stance. Go! I throw my weight behind my right glove and the sound of leather slapping on leather echoes around the basement gym at Gray House. Good, again, keep going. We gotta keep you in shape, Gray. You gotta look good walking down the aisle. He cackles. Ignoring his tone, I rain blows on his palm pads. Cool, good, enough. I stop and catch my breath. I'm wired, ready. Bouncing on my toes, adrenaline flowing through my veins, I'm ready to strike. I'm on top of the fucking world. I think that's enough warm-up. Let's blow the corporate bullshit out of your brain. You're on, dude. You are going down. He flashes me a broad, bright grin as he slides his gloves over taped hands. That's fighting talk, Gray. You know your girl is making fine progress. She'll keep your ass in line. She'll make one worthy opponent. She's a worthy opponent now. And she keeps my ass in line. And I keep hers. Don't think about that now. He raises his fists. Ready, old man? What? I'm 10 years his junior. Old. I'll give you old, Bastille. I lunge at him. Feeling refreshed and ready for the day, I take my seat at my desk and fire up the iMac. Anna is waiting at the top of my inbox.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray, July 18th, 2011, 9:32. Soaring, in and out of the red room. My dearest Mr. Gray, it's hard to know which I prefer. Sailing, soaring, or the red room of pain, pleasure. Thank you for yet another unforgettable weekend. I love flying high in every way with you. I am, as ever, in awe of your talents. All of them. Wink. Your soon-to-be wife. Kiss, 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 kiss.
My grin in response to Anna's email is out of control, but I don't care. I look up when Andrea places a cup of coffee on my desk, and she looks a little disconcerted. Thanks, Andrea.
Shall I ask Roz to come up?
Andrea asks, recovering her composure. Please do. I clear my throat, wondering what's bothering my PA. I type a quick response to Anna. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, July 18th, 2011, 9:58. Physical pursuits. My darling Anastasia, I love soaring with you. I love playing with you. I love doing you. I love you. Always. Christian Gray, CEO. P.S. Which talent in particular inquiring minds need to know? Roz knocks and enters my office.
Good morning, Christian.
She chimes as I press send. She's unusually cheerful. Standing, I wave her to the table. Good morning.
Why the frown?
She asks as she sits down.
I don't think I've ever seen you so upbeat.
Her smile could rival the Great Sphinx at Giza.
God is good.
I raise my eyebrows. This is very un-Roz-like behavior. Taking a seat opposite her, I wait patiently for an explanation. She shuffles her papers and hands me the agenda for our meeting. It's obvious she's not going to elucidate, and I don't wish to pry. I glance down at the first item. The Taiwan shipyard?
They're offering a full disclosure of their P&L, their assets and liabilities. They want to partner with a U.S. company. They'd like to pitch.
They sound eager.
They do,
Roz confirms. I think we should take them up on the offer and conduct our due diligence. Then we can take it from there. Agreed?
I think so. We have nothing to lose at this stage.
Okay, let's do it.
I'll put the paperwork in place.
Roz scribbles down a note and moves to the next item on the agenda. There's an email from Anna waiting for me when I've concluded my meeting with Roz.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray, July 18th, 2011, 10:01. Your physical pursuits. Why, Mr. Gray? So rude and so modest. I think you can guess. Your sexpertise knows no bounds. I'm very much looking forward to seeing the house again this evening. I am in a meeting that concludes at 5 p.m. I'll see you then. A. Kiss.
I pick up my phone and dial her direct line.
Anna Steele.
She answers in her crisp executive voice. Anna Steele, Christian Gray.
Ah, my talented fiancé. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Taylor and I will be there at 5.
Great. Now I need to get back to daydreaming. I mean, work. I don't want my boss's boss's boss to catch me shirking my responsibilities.
What do you think he'd do if he did? She gasps, and the sound sends a thrill through my body.
Something unspeakable,
she whispers. That could be arranged.